This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I think, you know, as far as the quarterback news, and let's face it, quarterback news always drives everything in the offseason. It is right now. The one piece of news, quarterback-wise, that was really pretty eye-opening was what John Lynch had to say in San Francisco, you know, about Brock Purdy. That right now, if we lined up, Brock Purdy's our starting quarterback. He's earned that. Like, that's pretty eye-opening considering that Trey Lance was the third pick in the draft and they traded up twice to go get him. And but, you know, to me, now I don't know when Brock Purdy's going to be ready. You know, surgery is surgery and rehab is rehab, and nobody can predict when he's going to be ready. But I thought that was pretty newsworthy.
I did too, Baldy. And the thing for me is this could be one of the greatest all-time wasted picks potentially in the NFL history, because of what they went and did and how they gave up picks and draft equity or compensation. I think somebody asked me the other day, they said, how much do you believe in Purdy? And I said, well, look, it's not his fault he fell into the perfect situation, right? Mm-hmm. Great defense, great run game. They trade for McCaffrey. You've got four guys on the outside, Debo and all these. Ayuk, you got players. Like, he fell into a perfect situation. I only say that to say that with Shanahan's style and the way that he goes about his business, it's almost a perfect situation for Purdy. He's never going to ask Purdy to throw for 500 yards. He's never going to ask Purdy to throw it 50 times a game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's not how he operates. So for Purdy, all he has to do is stay within the game plan, and he looks really good. I don't know if Brock Purdy can put a team on his back and say, hey, I'll win two or three or four games for you, as we've seen Aaron or Brady or some of these other greats do. So that is my only reservation. But if you're telling me that he's the guy and you are not confident in Trey Lance, however that's going to shake out, that's a wasted pick.
Well, it's a wasted. It can be a wasted pick if Brock Purdy works out. But what it says is, to me, a bigger message, Carl, in that all you got to do is prove it, that you can play. You
know, and he did last year.
Kenny Pickett proved it. That he can play in Pittsburgh. Is he proved? I don't know. You know, and any of these quarterbacks coming out, would you take what we've seen from eight games with Brock Purdy over what Bryce Young might be able to do? Would you take Brock Purdy and what he did in an eight-game stretch over what C.J. Stroud potentially can do?
Yes.
Like, it's potential in all these guys. And we've seen such a high percentage of these high picks not work out. And now, is that did Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, blah, 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 all these guys not work out because they didn't have the perfect storm? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If you put Baker Mayfield in that storm in San Francisco, could he have played as well as Brock Purdy? I don't think anybody thinks he could have. Like, I think Brock Purdy showed an awful lot, even with everything around him, as good as it was, that he could play at an elite level. And that's all you're trying to gauge with all these prospects is, boy, if we build around him, can he really deliver? And that's the question mark, because you don't know.
Yeah, and the last game was so unfair, right? I mean, the kid couldn't throw.
Six games.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't really evaluate. I know people want to look at the playoff game. That was somewhat unfair. But leading up to that point, Baldy, you're right. And listen, I have a phrase. It's simple. Can he play? We talk about height, weight, strength, speed, quickness, all this crap we throw out there, right? And at the end of the day, I just go, can he play? Brock Purdy can play. That's what I learned. So you're absolutely right. It's in the huddle, guys. Brian Balding and Carl Dukes with you. Jason Lock on Four, part of this podcast as well. Let's talk about the Cowboys releasing Ezekiel Elliott over the weekend. I want to throw this out to you. I think Zeke is loved in Dallas. He's a great, you know, person as far as how he handled his business there. But Zeke rushed for 876 yards. He averaged 3.8 yards a carry. That's under 4 yards a pop. They're both career lows. He failed to crack the top 20 in rushing this season. And then you go, well, hey, it's Ezekiel Elliott. He had how many 100-yard games? None. Zero. So he has not gone for 100 yards, 27 games. Now you go back to his last 100-yard game, came back October 2021, Baldy. Is he washed?
Well, so here's the thing. Is he's got a lot of miles on him. Had some at Ohio State. Had some, you know, through the Dallas. He's a declining player. Clearly a declining player. So you can't pay two running backs in this business. So you pay Tony Pollard. You pay him, you know, franchise tag money. Okay. Tony Pollard was a fourth-round pick out of Memphis. Nobody thought that he could usurp, you know, Zeke, and he did. It's just the nature of the beast. I mean, there's just been very few guys. Emmitt Smith, LaDainian Tomlinson. You count the number of guys that can really carry it for a long time and still maintain, you know, high productivity. When you can get Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round and you can get what you need from that position. Zeke has value. He's an excellent protector. He's a good teammate. You know, but here's the thing. Okay, you could – you might be able to say Zeke can still do it if the decline was related to an injury. Now, you could say, okay, he had a knee injury a couple of years ago. He played through it. He's basically been a healthy player, and he's declining. It's not like, you know, he had to go get a knee surgery like Breece Hall this year. We'll see what he is when he comes back. He's been a healthy player for the most part, and he's a declining player. And, you know, a lot of these players, you could list the 100-yard games. Just look at the explosive plays that he's had in the passing game or running game. He doesn't give you the explosive plays. Pollard does. And so it's just all these players that have been released, like Zeke, like they all want the elite money, and that's just not there. So you can get Zeke, but you got to get Zeke at a value. And what's that value? I mean, he's not going to like it. But I don't know what the value is right now. But it's nowhere near the $10 million figure that they had been paying him.
Now, we were talking about Austin Eckler, I think, on the previous podcast. Guys, subscribe, like us. It's In the Huddle, wherever you get your podcasts. We put out new episodes on Tuesday and Thursdays. And you were mentioning you love Austin Eckler, but you think the money is unrealistic to where he's trying to go. Is that going to happen with Zeke? I mean, Zeke's going to take a pay cut no matter where he goes. I keep hearing – you know, Eagles, which would be kind of interesting because of the Cowboys-Eagles rivalry and all that. But, you know, Eagles, Jets, there's some other teams. And it's almost like everybody wants to go to Jets because of the anticipation of Aaron maybe being there. But is he in a similar situation, Austin Eckler, to think that he can get 10 or 11 or $12 million a season?
You know, look, I mean, the Eagles signed Rashad Penny. Now, you know, Rashad Penny has a strong injury history, but when healthy, he's been a very good back. And he's still young. So he's been in the league 5 or 6 years. Yeah. He still has probably more left, but they've gotten a lot of mileage out of Kenneth Gainwell, out of Boston Scott. I mean, the Eagles, I don't believe, are in the market to sign Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, they'd rather sign their own players, which they have done a great deal of. But I don't believe that they're in that market. I just don't think teams are interested in a running back whose best days are behind him, regardless of what the name on the jersey is right now.
Baldy, as we get into pro days, and we saw, you know, guys last week specifically, and not in this order, we saw Will Levis. I watched his pro day at Kentucky, right? Cannon, big kid. I saw him in person this year because my daughter's thinking about going to Kentucky. It's one of her schools. And okay. So we went up and we watched a game. And ironically, Baldy, this is a pretty funny story. After the game, it was Georgia-Kentucky. Nobody was doing anything against Georgia's defense, right? And he had a shot where it was a wide open guy in the end zone. He underthrows him, and it's a pick, and that was like their best chance to score. But it was a cold day in November, and after the game, we went to like one of the popular spots in town, and the kid walks in with his girlfriend. And I tell my daughter, I said, "It's the quarterback." And she goes, "Man, he's bigger than I thought he was." And I said, "Yeah, he's a big guy." So I went up and said, "Hey, you know, Will, Carl Dukes, I work in Atlanta. You know, I do this, that, and the other. And, hey, I wish you nothing but the best. We'll probably try to grab you before the draft." Kid was super nice. Yeah. He's in there. He's signing autographs. You know, people are coming up. "Hey, Will." And my point is, when I walked up on him, Baldy, I didn't realize how stout he was, right, until I walked up on him. And, you know, I'm not a little bitty guy, but I'm not, you know, 6'5". And so – you could see he has this NFL frame. That's the Will Levis story. And I saw him throw this week. We saw Bryce Young, who everybody was saying, "Hey, what do you mean you're not weighing in?" Because he didn't weigh in. Right? And then we saw C.J. Stroud last week. My point is, Baldy, has your opinions changed on any of these guys? Now, Anthony Richardson is going to work out Thursday.
Yes.
All right? Florida's quarterback. He's the other guy that we continue to talk about. I think he'll do well. He already crushed the combine. Has your opinion changed at all on any of these quarterbacks?
Not really. I mean, like when Bryce Young, like, you know, it was I was joking last week on the NFL Network that how big was the jet that the Carolina Panthers chartered to take the entire organization to Columbus to see C.J. Stroud? And I see Josh McCown talking to, you know, C.J. after the workout, like, "Hey, look, I know you're a hooper. I got a basketball court set up. Let's play a little, you know." Then they do the same act the next day in Tuscaloosa with Bryce Young. And to me, it was just confirmation Thursday or Wednesday, whatever day it was. It was just confirmation of what you saw. Bryce Young is an elite prospect, regardless of his size. But his size is a concern, health-wise. But the way that he plays the game, the way that he throws the ball, like, it's elite. It's elite touch. But, you know, it's what you saw, you know, throughout his 2 years. It's funny that you said that you went to with your daughter to the Kentucky-Georgia game. I've watched that game. Every single prospect that played against Georgia, it was like, that's not the game that you want to put out there for an NFL team. But then you go, what in the world was he supposed to do? Like, they literally took – he made one throw on the sideline early in the game for 40 yards, and it was a great throw, and that was it. Yep. Like, there wasn't anything else that he did the rest of the day. And you're like, well, you don't have a tight end. You really don't have any wide receivers. The protection broke down. Like, here's Jalen Carter. Here's all these guys coming at him. Like, but he did the same thing to Anthony Richardson. I mean, George did the same thing to Anthony Richardson. He did the same thing to everybody they played against, you know, except for really C.J. Stroud, you know, who had a, you know, pretty good day that day. And that's where you kind of measure C.J. Stroud going, wow, he got out of harm's way a bunch against an elite defense with, you know, first-round picks everywhere. So
yeah, and Hendon Hooker. I mean, prior to the injury, Hendon Hooker was another kid that they were, you know, we're talking about a first-round grade potentially. So
yeah. But, the only thing I'd say is, like, none of these guys ran. I kind of, like, wanted to see these guys run. I don't know if Bryce Young's a 4.5 guy, a 4.6 guy. I don't know. Like, I like to see them do some of these things that – so just to have another measuring stick against Anthony Richardson, against some of the elite prospects that have come through the NFL, you kind of like to see them do that. Now, I'm sure their agents like it. It's not necessary. Like, your tape is your tape. All right. Well, I still like to kind of see it.
I'm with you. My opinion has not changed. And listen, it's Bryce, it's Stroud, and then the other two guys, depending. I do think somebody might reach, Baldy, and we're going to have plenty of time to talk about this over the next month, that somebody might reach and go Anthony Richardson before Will Levis just because of the upside. I do believe that. That athleticism is unbelievable. And there's somebody, you know, there's somebody in one of these offices going, I can make him special, right? We can really develop him into something special. And so I do think that's going to happen, but I'm not sure what team yet is going to be that.
I mean, I think it's fascinating to me that Carolina trades from 9-1 with Chicago to get the first pick. And they haven't let the cat out of the bag and who they're looking at.
No.
But if, you know, if you're a Carolina Panther fan, it's kind of hard not to see, could this be Cam Newton or some level of, I mean, he prided himself after Cam Newton, Lamar Jackson, his game. The Carolina Panthers had the number one pick in 2011. Cam Newton, 4 years later, is the MVP of the league during the Super Bowl. Like, it's kind of hard not to look at Cam Newton and what he did in Carolina and not think that Anthony Richardson can't do that. I mean, they both – I mean, Cam Newton played 13 games at Auburn. You know, Anthony Richardson's played 13 games at Florida. Like his physical traits are actually better than what Cam Newton did coming out of Auburn. And it's kind of hard not to look at that and go, could the Carolina Panthers go down that road again and take their next Cam Newton? I mean, it's kind of hard not to think like that.
No, listen, if you get him and he does Cam stuff, if I told you over the next 10 years he's going to win an MVP, take you to a Super Bowl, and you're consistently in the playoffs, you take it. You got to take it. So that's the thing. I mean, forget about the skill set. If that's what you believe, then you got to take it. Baldy, before we run, I want to get back to Lamar Jackson. I just want to state this, and you know, is something that has been brought up, not by this show or this podcast, but various people around the league or, you know, outsiders. And that is that somehow, shape, or form, some way, shape, or form, that this Lamar situation has something to do with race. And I want to clear this up. So when Deshaun Watson, who was at the time going through legal issues, right? We didn't know how severe it would be. We didn't know what the consequences were going to be. Ultimately, you had teams bidding for his services, as we forget, like we have short memories. But you had three or four teams that were bidding for his services, and ultimately the Browns came in and they wrote the biggest check. Jimmy Haslam said, hey, I want him. This is what we're going to do. Deshaun Watson is black. He's got a $230 million guaranteed deal. It's the first ever in NFL history, okay? Mm-hmm. This is not about race with Lamar. This is simply about term, years, and numbers, salary. That's it. Who wants to pay him? Who doesn't? There's nothing else to this. Mm-hmm. And so if anyone is insinuating that, okay, and I get the collusion part because the other part of it is, well, you've got white owners who are colluding against this black quarterback. And I don't believe that because at the end of the day, we just saw a black quarterback get paid the most money in NFL history. So let's not go down this road. Lamar will get his. I don't know what that number is going to be. But the bigger statement from NFL owners is they don't want to go down the road of having to give guaranteed deals consistently over and over and over. And if you don't think Jalen Hurts is watching and his people and Joe Burrow's people are not watching this and they don't and they're not aware of where this is going, you're not paying attention. Because those are the next guys that are going to get paid. And when they do, what is that going to look like? And if it starts, NFL owners are going to go down a track they do not want to go down. And the CBA, by the way, does not say anything in it about guaranteed deals. There's no language that says you cannot do a guaranteed deal, which is why the Browns were able to do it. But let's not go down this road of it's race and it's a black quarterback. We've got a black quarterback that's guaranteed $230 million in the league right now. I think it's unfair, and I also think it's unfair to the guys who are being insinuated that that's what's going on. Sometimes, and trust me, I'm black, all right? Sometimes it just is what it is. Yeah. Sometimes it's just, I don't want to do this because I know what it's going to do for my franchise and my league potentially down the road. And I think what the Browns did was an eye-opener for a lot of owners, and even though it looks like collusion because – most of them look the same way. It's just not because they can say, I don't want to do this because it's not good business.
Well, I said at the very start of this podcast, and I'll end the podcast, this is all about business. And business, I don't believe that the color of anybody's skin is interfering with this business. It's a difficult business. It can be treacherous. Joe Flacco had to play out his contract to get paid in Baltimore. Like, they went through this before, you know, and they weren't ready to give Joe Flacco a guaranteed or an inflated contract before he proved himself winning the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl MVP. So I just think this is business, and business can be difficult. And they don't just give these contracts away. There's a lot of negotiation that goes into it. And that's where this thing is at right now. And people say, well, you know, the agent thing to me is important when it gets to the business. These owners are business people first.
Yeah.
And they do business every day. Difficult negotiations. outside of football. Steve Bisciotti self-built a empire, okay, from scratch. Like, he's a businessman. And so that's where this thing is at, Carl.
Baldy, great stuff as always, guys. We'll see where it goes. We'll see what else comes out of the owners' meetings. We'll be back. We'll jump in. You never know. Subscribe so you don't miss an episode to see what's happening around the league. And we'll continue to build up to the draft as well. Once we get past the draft, we'll tell you guys. We're going to be grabbing some different guests and getting some people on just to kind of interact with us, having some fun. But right now, it's all about the lead up to what's going to happen in April. So, Baldy, appreciate you, man, as always. Yeah. Thank you guys for being here. Subscribe and like us. Tell your friends about us. It's In the Huddle. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks, Baldy. Yeah.